Welcome to episode 13 of Trivial Arguments. We were renewed for a second season, and we could not be happier. And by renewed, I mean I came out of my Cub depression, and Matt refused to talk about the White Sox. And we're putting forward a new effort to do another one of these. As always, we'll do some trivia. We'll probably get into some arguments. It's been 4 months since the last episode. Matt lives in a bus. I have a wife now. It's Matt's fifth episode, record-breaking fifth episode. It's spooky season, but most importantly, it's bull season. We'll talk about the upcoming basketball season and our expectations for the team. We'll probably go on a minimum of three or four tangents. So who knows? But what I do know is nothing has changed as far as the pod. We still hate A-Rod. We canceled Smash Mouth. We'll do some sports trivia, and we'll have a question of the day. But other than that, without further ado, Matt, for your fifth time of me asking, how are you?
I'm doing great. Season two, back and better than ever.
Season two, change the logo.
It's amazing how hard we had to fight to get renewed, but your mom finally let you out of her basement, and now we're doing podcasts, right?
I know. So I don't have to keep like clicking like pause and like screaming like, Mom! I'm recording. I have my own house now. So,
yeah.
That's what being renewed means. It means I moved out. But yeah. So not only spooky season, it's October. But Matt, the Bulls look like they might be an actual team this year. How are we feeling about that?
I'm super excited. There's a lot of talk when they first assembled this team, and there's lots of moves. And some people are saying they don't know if they're going to fit. I really did feel like from the beginning that the fit was there. The types of people they got, it was no secret for the last like 5 years that the Bulls have wanted Lonzo Ball. And it's almost like we got the best version of him because he's improved as a basketball player every year since he's come to the NBA. So now that we have this like Lonzo Ball that can shoot threes and is an excellent defender, and he's always been a great facilitator, and it's like the perfect fit for these Bulls. And then obviously DeMar DeRozan, I do think we gave up a lot for DeRozan. It felt like a lot. And I remember feeling that way when it first came out, but I think in general, It's a great fit. People are worried about the shooting. I think the shooting will be there. I think it'll be fine. But generally, I'm excited. It's nice to have like a real front office that does real basketball moves and isn't just sitting on their hands doing nothing, because that's what we're used to as Bulls fans. So it's super exciting as a Bulls fan that's we actually are moving in the right direction, and the moves are real basketball moves.
Yeah. I mean, not only this offseason, but I mean, you could tell even last season when the Bulls went and got Vuk, I was like, oh, they're like legitimately serious about like putting a team together. Like there was always like, you know, the Bulls are one free agent away, or the Bulls are, you know, if they lock down a backup center, or, you know, there's always talk that they were one player away from doing something. So when they got Vuk, like, was it March last year or something like that? I was like, oh, like, this front office is actually like putting in the moves and taking the steps to not necessarily improve the team last year. Cause I mean, I don't know how many games Levine and Vuk actually ended up like playing together. But I mean, I'm optimistic that the front office has actually put together a team that's going to matter. And for the first time in a while, I don't have to, you know, watch Bulls games with one eye closed. Like, oh, well, they could blow out teams, or they could, you know, get absolutely smoked. I still think their defense needs to improve, but I think they're probably going to win a lot of shootouts. But other than that, I mean, I think they're a playoff team this year, at least on paper. I mean, if what they did in the preseason is any indication that they're all going to mesh together well, then I'm here for it.
I think the concerns about the defense are – they're legitimate, but I think the reasoning for the concerns, and maybe you can speak to this as the person who has the concerns, but I think that it's kind of like old concerns meaning like they weren't great on defense. They Zach LaVine is not known as a defender. Vucevic is not known as a defender. But to me, it kind of stops there, right? With this new team, those are old concerns. Now, obviously, those are two of our five starters. If you watch the Olympics, Zach LaVine was a lockdown on-ball defender, and that was his role. He wasn't going to be able to contribute to the Olympic team the way he normally can contribute to a Bulls team that doesn't make the playoffs. So it makes sense that those are the concerns, but that was his role and he had to take that role and he did it. And so he played lockdown defense. So that's a positive, right? He can take what he learned there and apply it to the Bulls. Vucevic just has to play position defense. He's not going to block shots. He's there to be big in the way and get rebounds. So that one does concern me a little bit. But DeRozan is a great on-ball defender. Comes from a great team defense. When he was in Toronto, they played great team defense. When he went to the Spurs, they played great team defense. So that's an upgrade all around. As an individual defender, as he's getting older, I'm sure he still can hang and guard the ball. But team defense is where his strength is going to be, in my opinion. Even watching preseason, you can see the rotation is so, so much better than it was. Lonzo Ball, known as one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, a 6'6 point guard, he's going to be guarding somebody shorter than him almost every game, besides when you are playing the taller point guards. So that's not an area of worry for myself as well, because it's a pick and roll league, right? And if your best on the ball defender is also the person that's playing in the pick and roll, that's going to be a strength. So it's a matter of whoever the big man is, if whatever defense they try to play. I really don't like Billy Donovan's defense of like just having the big man sit back in the paint afterwards, but we're getting into big time X's and O's here. We don't need to do that. I just don't think it's as big of a concern with these new pieces as it would have been. That's why I think it's kind of an old, it's like, I don't blame you. As a Chicago sports fan, it's like, it's hard when we were burned so many times by this certain way of thinking. So like being a Bulls fan and just like, okay, they haven't been playing defense, even though in the Jim Boylan era, by the end, they were like a top defense efficiency team, you know, top 10, maybe even higher. I can't remember. I try to block those years out, but
I think Jim Boylan did that.
Exactly. We don't remember that, but it is the case. And so I'm not as concerned, and time will tell, obviously. I am concerned about rim protection and the presence of rim protection. Like Lonzo Ball, it's only preseason, yes, but he led the league in blocks. I mean, not the league, led the team in blocks. You can't have that. Your point guard cannot be the one that leads your team in blocks. But as long as there's somebody big and in the way, like I said, that like that's the role Vooch is going to play. You don't necessarily need a shot blocker if the rotation is there early and you're in the way. It makes you can challenge the shot without having to block it, and that's just as important. So where that's going to come from, it's a little concerning. And if it doesn't happen this year, it doesn't happen this year. I just think it's nice to know that they're going in the right direction. So I'm not as concerned about defense, but you can say – If I'm wrong in your way of thinking, I guess that was a long rant for not even knowing if that's how you were thinking. But I think that's in the general masses. That's how they're thinking about the defense.
I mean, I have like flashbacks of like Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker on the court averaging like 40 points given up just when they're on the court together. it probably was closer to 50 points. Like,
I mean, if you're comparing a defensive player of Zach LaVine to Jabari Parker, that is such an insult to Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is 10 times the defender, even on his worst day, than Jabari Parker is. Jabari Parker is the Pillsbury Doughboy, doesn't move his feet. Literally, the definition of Olay defense, just wave the hand while the guy goes by, opens like a gate into a backyard every time. Oh, I don't
know. Wacky inflatable man. Jabari Parker. Catch something if you wave your arms enough. Hey,
I want to go like fight younger Matt that was excited that Jabari Parker was a Bull. It's like, what were you thinking?
I was excited about it. I was like,
That's where we were. Was that still Fred Hoiberg? That was still Fred Hoiberg, wasn't it?
Oh, God. I blocked him out too. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's the double-edged sword of the Bulls were undefeated in preseason. So it's like, okay, well, if we decide preseason matters, then like Bulls are going to run the table. But if we're like, hey, it's just preseason, like who cares? Like when your team's losing, preseason doesn't matter. When your team's lighting it up, it's like, dude, did you see the Bulls in the preseason?
Well, see, that's I hate that argument for preseason. Not the one you're giving specifically, but the argument of like, well, it's preseason, so it doesn't matter. It's like, but would you rather them lose all five games? No, you'd rather them win all five games and actually show something. Whether if this is, I mean, the issue would be if this is the peak, right? They went all out in preseason and nobody else did, and this is the result, and then there's no results after that. Yeah, that's the issue. But the issue is not that they won all five games and it means nothing. Like, we saw a different brand of basketball in the preseason than the Bulls have played in years. It's fast pace. It's all about fast break. It's about defensive deflections and turnovers and getting the ball and going. And there's a more of an emphasis on the mid-range game. And it's not just three-pointer or layup. And it's not Zach LaVine bailing us out with a step back three. I think it watching in the preseason, one thing that was like great to see was Zach LaVine almost playing a role and not just being ball dominant, heavy on the ball, taking the ball to the rack and scoring or getting fouled or just hitting a step back three. Like that's what our offense essentially was. And that it wasn't effective. It was proven not to be effective, but like having Zach LaVine, who is an elite offensive player at this point in his career, having him be able to like play off the ball and go and score in bunches, you know, like he's really good at scoring 10 in 10 minutes. That's not enough. 10 in like 10 in 3 minutes. That's what he's really good at.
Yeah.
And he can score in those bunches way easier when he's not being asked to do all of the offensive work. And I think it's from just watching the preseason, if this is any indication of what the Bulls offense is going to look like, Zach LaVine playing a role essentially. And I don't mean that to sound like I'm like diminishing what he is as a player, like a role player. That's not what I'm saying. It's just like he has a role to fit into as a shooting guard on the Bulls, and he's not having to be everything. So that's what more so what I mean. And I think he's going to be very effective in that role. And it's going to be easier for him to produce on the defensive end when he doesn't have all of the pressure of doing everything on offense. I have to think Zach LaVine, I don't think he's a very like big ego driven guy. I think he's very much a team guy. And I think that was proven by him, like not having an issue with Jim Boylan, like being this great basketball player and being just like, okay with this like joke of a coach being their coach. It's like, he's not an ego driven guy. He's not like one of these superstars that's like, it's my way or the highway. I think he's a good team guy. And the selfish things he does, I think he does because he has to. I don't think it's because it's in his nature. So I genuinely like Zach LaVine in that way. And I think he's a great person to build a franchise around. It's just that with that being said, him fitting into this role and giving everything he can on the defensive end as well as the offensive end is way different than him having to do every single thing on the offensive end and not having any energy for defense. Because I do think he was thinking, I cannot do this defense thing last year because I have to do things on offense. If we're going to score, you know, over 100 points to keep up, because we give up over 100 points, and by over 100, it's more like 115 they were giving up last year. Yeah. I'm going to have to score 30 to 40 for us to have a chance. And he doesn't have to do that this year. So that's, I think that'll only improve his defense. So that's another addressing the defensive concern.
Yeah, and I mean, in watching the preseason, like you could read stats and stuff like that all day. But if you're watching the actual like games, you can tell that like for the first time in a while, it seems like they're actually having fun. And like that maybe doesn't necessarily matter in the grand scheme of things. But like you said, Zach LaVine isn't a selfish player. So I think when he had to go out there and he was their top scorer and he had to score 40 points, I don't really know if that's the role that he wanted. So the fact that they have like players around him where they can kind of spread the points out where he doesn't have to, shoot 50 shots a game in order to keep him in it, I don't think that he was ever really the guy that, you know, like you said, was ego driven. He's not a selfish player at all. So I think him surrounding him, or the Bulls surrounding him with players that'll actually like help him and help spread the, you know, ball around, I think that's going to work tremendously for him. He's been waiting for them to build a team around him for years. So I think this is the first time in a while where it looks like he can kind of take a step back and he can still be the leader of the team, but he doesn't necessarily have to be. And I think that's what role he's kind of looking for.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because him being in that role, like I said, I think is going to be very beneficial. But I think there was this narrative around Zach LaVine that good player, scores a lot of points, great offensive player, but what are the results? Like, is he a winning player? And the answer to this point has been no, he is not. There's the craziest stat that came out when he was on the Olympic team. It was the first time in his career that he's won 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so what is it? Or what is averaging 30 points a game doing for your basketball team? And the answer is not a whole heck of a lot. So he has this narrative around him. And then that immediately goes to the conversation of, like, is he a selfish player? Is he scoring because he wants to score? And that's why I think it's important to, in my opinion, I do not think he's a selfish player at all. It sounds like you agree. Because of that, there is this narrative of he scores 30 a game and the team's not winning. Similar to the Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. Amazing, amazing thing. It's crazy to think about that he's done it as many times as he has already. But it's like, was the team winning while he was doing it? And the first year, yes. The second time he did it, no.
Yeah.
It's like, was he being selfish? And I think that makes a little more sense, that argument. And I don't know why. It just – see, that kind of thing is like, it comes with the scoring a lot, putting up statistics and not winning. So I think he can kind of get that. If there are people out there that still think that, which I definitely think they exist. But for me personally, I think I'm able to look past that and look at some of the deeper things. And honestly, just being around Jim Boylan, I think, proved that he – letting that happen just makes me think that's like, oh, yeah, he's – a good team guy and doesn't want to rock the boat if he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say with like your best player sometimes. Just look at the Brooklyn Nets right now.
Yeah. And well, you mentioned Westbrook. I mean, now he's on the Lakers. I sincerely doubt he's going to be able to average a triple double on the Lakers. You think LeBron James or Anthony Davis, even though he's made of glass, you think they're going to let Russell Westbrook score minimum 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists? I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong.
Those are LBJ stats for sure. He's not allowed to have those.
Yeah. So if you're Russell Westbrook, are you like, oh, maybe I now have a chance at a championship, but now I don't get my triple-double? Do you think that matters to him at all?
I don't
see in his career. Do you think he even cares about triple doubles anymore? Or if he's just like, if I go home without another GD championship, like I'm going to lose it.
I think that's 100% what it is. I don't think that he is going to care at all about the triple double anymore. I do think he did care about the triple double. I really do. But those Thunder team were not doing anything. His Houston teams were not going to do anything like in the grand scheme of like winning a championship. So maybe that's time to go for your stats. I don't know. It's worked for him. He's still seen as a pretty good player.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be an issue even a little bit. With the way that LeBron James can ship you out of town without batting an eye, I don't think he can do it. I think as soon as he goes for a triple-double, as soon as he steals a rebound from LeBron, like the way he used to from Steven Adams all the time, as soon as he does that, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hope you like it.
We wanted it to work out. Sorry, Russ. But I digress. Russell Wilson does not play for the Bulls, so who cares? He's not a real person. And they play in the West.
Russell Wilson? Yes.
He also doesn't play for the Bulls, yes. If I had a nickel for every time I knew in my head I want to say Westbrook and I say Wilson, or when I want to say Wilson, I say Westbrook. Interchangeable in my mind. They sound really almost the exact same name. Couldn't be more opposite. Two different sports, but
it's really unfair that we've gone so long without a quality Russell, and then now we have two of them in this era. I mean, it's not fair to us.
Strictly speaking, we're a Geno Smith family.
I mean, we can count three Russells if you count the kid from Up, too. I mean, that kid, elite.
Well, I was going to say, if we're ranking them, it's him and then the other two are tied for second.
Yeah, naturally.
Anybody who can be on screen with a charismatic dog, I mean, sorry, that kid is above everybody else.
Except the kid from Air Bud, that kid sucked.
Yeah, can you imagine being the kid from Air Bud who didn't get to start because the dog was starting? Like, hey, so like, we're going to try something. It's like, what are we trying? It's like, so you're going to come off the bench. It's like, well, I don't really like that, but I guess if you're giving the job to John, it's like, no, John's also going to be on the bench. We're going to start a golden retriever. And you just need to hear me out. And I'm the coach, so you have to listen.
I think we just created like a dark Netflix series about that kid and what happened to his life afterwards. You know how successful Cobra Kai is right now? When you take what happened to, what's his name? Whatever the bad karate kid is. Johnny?
No. What the hell is his name? Is it? No, it's not Johnny. I don't know.
We definitely know this. Okay. But yeah. And then you take the kid from Air Bud and how his life went to a downward spiral after the dog started over him.
Or like the kid in Stuart Little, where the parents are like, hey, give me that rat. And it's like, wait, I also want a home. And it's like, nah, we're going to test this rat out.
The kid in the orphanage. Yeah. Not the brother. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they resolved that by the end with the brother.
Yeah.
But
Billy Babka is the actor, but I'm trying to think. So it's Daniel is the
LaRusso.
LaRusso, unless you're a How I Met Your Mother fanatic, then he's not the Karate Kid. Billy Zabka is.
Right, but that's not his name in the...
Yeah, I know. He was Johnny Lawrence. It was Johnny.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We did it on this podcast. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, we got there.
I mean, we did. But yeah.
After listeners screaming Johnny Lawrence, we got there.
Yeah. I was like, you can pipe down. This is our podcast. It's season two. We're rusty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're shaking the 4 months of rust off.
Yeah, it was a sabbatical. I think the Bulls play Wednesday. If you're listening to this, it could be Monday, it could be Tuesday. So it's either tomorrow or whenever. But yeah, if you're talking about Zach LaVine during the regular season winning four games in a row, that could possibly be the first four games. They played Detroit twice in a four-game span. John?
I think generally their season opens up fairly easy. I have the schedule pulled up here. So we go at Detroit. Pelicans here, Detroit here, at Toronto, and then Knicks here. So if we're talking just those six games, I think that was six, one, two, three, four, five, those five games.
Four and one?
It's very plausible. Yeah, if we come away with four wins there, I mean, Toronto, they don't have Lowry anymore. Like, how are they going to be? So I think it's very plausible that they're coming out with four wins. And that's – I think it was last year we had a super easy start to the schedule.
Yeah.
So – but we didn't win.
I mean, I glanced over the schedule – like earlier today, like in thinking about the podcast, and I was going over like, ooh, like this one's a win, this one's a loss. And then where it gets dicey is they go Brooklyn. Well, it's first Brooklyn versus Dallas at Golden State, at LA, at Lakers. I'm like, there's your five game span where you go 4-1 and then could easily go 1-4. But I mean, the season's long enough where there's no possible way where, you know, more often than not, the games you think you're going to win are the, you know, the ones you lose, or the ones you think you're going to outright beat somebody, that one goes to double overtime and they lose by one. You know, there's really no way to predict it. I mean, you could look at all 82 games and try to predict win loss. Like, oh, well, maybe they'll win at Bucks, but they'll lose at home. Or, well, if they're playing, you know, this team at home, then maybe they'll split them. So, I mean, you start overthinking it. And, but I think.
Is that the circus? Is that stretch you're talking about, the circus trip, or is that too early?
The circus trip was when? Mid-November or early November?
I'm assuming it's always the West Coast trip, so I'm assuming it's that.
The Golden State, yeah, at Golden State, at LA. Golden State,
Clippers, Lakers, Portland, Nuggets. Like, that's typically, they do the West Coast trip.
Barnum and Bailey circus.
Ringling, who knows? A big circus guy?
I mean, we only pump out real stats in this podcast.
So, yeah, that, I mean, that's
that big circus guy.
That might be problematic. We don't want to get canceled in our second season. So, disavow. We disavow circuses, I think, maybe. Cruelty to animals.
If you're listening and you work for a circus, love you, support you. Unless you're not a good circus person, then we don't allow that on this podcast.
Right. Please stop listening right now. We don't want your kind listening.
Yes. And we mean the people that did the elephant tricks, because those were cool when you're like a child, but they're no longer cool now that you like know more facts about it.
It's very true.
I've seen the documentary.
We'll call it the West Coast trip. We don't promote circuses. So it's the West Coast trip. And yes, that's when it does start getting sketchy. But if we're looking at it as far as it's going to be a month into the season, and I think that's about the time where you'll really start to see what this team actually is, because there is going to be a period of time where there is like building team chemistry, knowing how does Zach LaVine want the ball on a catch and shoot? How does Vooch run the pick and roll? How does DeMar like the ball in the mid post or the high post? I mean, those kind of things I think are going to be kind of figured out and rounding into shape around that time. And so maybe that's like the perfect test at that time. It's kind of how I'm thinking about it, is that Golden State, with who, remember, is going to be Golden State again. They'll be back healthy. It's not going to be like they'll be back to being their themselves. The Clippers are the Clippers. The Lakers are the Lakers in Portland. You never know. And then finishing with Denver. So it's like, I think that'll be a good test. I think thinking about the matchup for these teams, like if we're getting into that, like what worries me about the Bulls is our size. We're going to be playing undersized. So playing against Golden State, that doesn't matter. Playing against the Clippers, that doesn't matter. Playing against the Lakers with Anthony Davis, who has guard skills as a 7-footer, like that's when the size is going to be an issue.
Yeah, but that could also be the 15-game span where Anthony Davis doesn't play. So,
well,
that would be very lucky. Or if they're all, like, taking their arthritis medication at the same time. Like, I think they're all 35 and older in the starting lineup.
I do think there'll be a lot of rest for the Lakers. And what we've seen as Bulls fans, if you watch most of the games, is the rest days that happen a lot against the Bulls, and have, because you can rest against the Bulls and still win. I don't think that's the case necessarily anymore. I think we're possibly can get to the 4 seed in the East. So if we're that high of a team, you can't necessarily sit your best guys against us. And so we're going to see a few teams like best shots. It's like, we're not going to get the random win against the Lakers because LeBron and AD were both sitting out. That's just not going to happen this year. In my opinion, it might happen because of the way their schedule works out. And, you know, the Western Conference teams might want to sit against an Eastern Conference team just for the sake, like that might be a strategy they're going to use. But I think we're going to get a lot of teams like A lineups, which I don't think we were necessarily getting the past few years.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see how it goes too. But I really do think that this is going to be a good test for the Bulls in that stretch in general. But I'm super excited for the season to start because I want to see rotations. I really want to see how Billy Donovan's going to use. Like, there was a part in the preseason when Patrick Williams was playing the five. And that's like.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So we basically know who four out of the five like starters are going to be. It's going to be Lonzo. It's going to be LaVine. It's going to be Vuk. It's going to be DeRozan. I'm assuming that fifth player is Patrick Williams. But. I mean, like you said, that they're playing a lot of small ball as far as, you know, even in the starting five. So I would think it's got to be Williams, but, I mean, is he ready to be an everyday player?
Patrick Williams is 100% the starter if he's healthy. I mean, that's health is the issue. He was able to get back for the last preseason game on a minutes restriction, which was a great sign.
Right.
Patrick Williams is going – If these Bulls, as constructed, have any chance of winning a championship, Patrick Williams has to be, I don't want to say elite because that's a lot. He has to be all-star level. He doesn't have to be first team all-NBA. I don't think some people think he has that in him. I don't necessarily think he has him in it. People see like a Kawhi type trajectory for him, and if that happens, great. But Kawhi wasn't Kawhi that early in his career. He's like a slow burn Kawhi. It's like all of a sudden he was like, oh yeah, Kawhi is like one of the top five players in the league. It's kind of how it went. But I don't think if this Bulls team is going to be that, it has to be that kind of thing for Patrick Williams because he is the guy. We know what everybody else is. Zach LaVine took the next step. There's probably one more half step in Zach LaVine, and that's defense, right? If he can turn it up on the defensive end and become an all-around player. We know what Vooch is. He's a walking double-double. He can stretch the floor if you need to, and he's got a good post game. Like, he's going to score 20, he's going to score 10, and he's not going to defend a whole lot. But we need him to play good position defense and be big and be in the way. We know what DeMar DeRozan is, especially at this point of his career. He's a mid-range shooter who has range out to the three-point line. I know people are worried about his shooting, but he can shoot. He's going to keep people honest by taking threes. He's not going to live out there. And he's got a good post game, and he'll get to the line, you know, six, eight to 10 times a game would be sick, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. But if he gets that line six times a game and he can score, he's a 20 point a game scorer. Like, we know who he is too. Lonzo can take a step with his shooting. He shot almost 40% last year. If he didn't shoot 40%, it was close from three. Like, he might have a next step too, because he's still a really young player. But we know who these people are. So if the Bulls are going to be like legitimate contenders, it's Patrick Williams. It's Patrick Williams taking a step into being that next player.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's the starter. To answer your question, he is the starter. He started every game last year besides, I think, one or two when he was out. But he is 100% the starter, and he's going to start at the four. So it means we're a little bit undersized at the four. But he guards the best person on the best, you know, small forward, power forward, shooting guard, like whoever that person is, Patrick Williams guards them. That's his role. It was his role last year. I'm curious to see if it's going to be his role this year, but he's only improved as a defensive player. Like, he has great instincts. He's young. I mean, it's hard to play defense as a rookie, and he did it really well last year. So he is the starter, health pending. The issue with Patrick Williams is the need to be aggressive. Like, if he can be aggressive, he can be a great player. How many games last year did you just like, oh, where's Patrick Williams? Like, oh, he scored two points, four rebounds. Like, dude, that's your skills, your like athleticism and skill level. You should be, I mean, I'd like to see him up in the 15 to 18 range for points per game, but it depends on how balanced our scoring is. And I think he has it in him. I think if he was around that range, I think that's like a really good spot for him. You know, 15 to 18 points a game and, you know, 8 to 10 rebounds a game. If he can fit that in there as a stat line, I think that's like the Bulls would be doing super well. But I just don't know if he can do that consistently. He might be a 10 in 4 guy.
Right.
We'll see.
Yep. What move, at least, like whether it was like late last season or this off season, what move did you think like the Bulls went from like on the verge of, you know, competing? If they put this thing together, if they do this, I think they'll be able to, you know, take that next step forward. What move for you in this off season were you like, oh, like they're serious now, like now they're ready for, you know, they're ready to compete against Milwaukee. They're ready to, you know, whatever version of Brooklyn they get when they play Brooklyn, you know, because you never know, you know, who's playing during any of those games. I mean, Brooklyn has a big three that I don't know if they've ever played together maybe more than twice.
Right. I would say for me, the move that really was like, okay, they're serious. I think the Vucevic one was a big one, and I wasn't expecting it. There wasn't any talk of it.
Right.
So that one was like, whoa. But it didn't put them over the top. It was like, okay, that move was like, this front office is legit. It's not the old regime anymore. They're not going to sit on their hands and do nothing. That's what that move was for me. And then the Lonzo Ball move was like, we needed a point guard. Kobe White was not the answer. We tried it. It doesn't work. We knew that. We didn't try Kobe White again. We went out and got a point guard. So like that one, great. Another good move. And both make our team significantly better, but still didn't put it over the top. When I was like, okay, we're going for this, it was the DeMar DeRozan one. Now, it has less to do with DeMar DeRozan, the player, and DeMar DeRozan, the fit on the Bulls, and more to do with just exactly like what you're asking. Oh, they're going for it. Like, that's what that move felt like. It felt like, sure, we could get Vooch, Zach, and Lonzo together with Patrick Williams developing and then throw another person in there. Who would it be? Probably would have been Garrett Temple. No, we got rid of Garrett Temple for Lonzo Ball. I don't know. Maybe Thaddeus Young made it back and Patrick Williams played more of a three role than a four role.
Yeah.
Whoever it would have been, maybe we signed a person. I don't know. But we could have just did that and kind of see where we ended up and then been ready to make moves the following offseason. And then once I found out how much they actually gave up for DeMar DeRozan, because it was the sign-in trade, it was Thaddeus Young, it was Al-Farouq Aminu, and then it was a protected first round, I believe.
Yeah.
And then 2 second-round picks, if I'm remembering this right. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So 2 second-round picks, a protected first round, and then 2 players. And, like, that's a lot. And then assigning them to a big contract as well. And it just felt like that was the move where it's like, okay, we're not just putting these pieces together and seeing how it goes. It's like, no, this is being turned around now. We took a year and we saw what we had. And we didn't like what we had, so we got rid of them. There's no more Lauri Markkanen. That project is done. As Bulls fans, half of us are probably like, thank God, and half of us are probably like, he might be.
One more chance.
Like, what happens if he turns it on?
Yeah.
And good for Lauri if he turns it on, but I wanted him to so bad, and I, as a sports fan, generally have way longer of a leash than I should for my Chicago like players and coaches. And I like to defend them more than they deserve. But it's it's over. It's the Lowry thing's done. So it's like that move for DeRozan was like, we're not just waiting around for this year to see how it goes. It's like, we're going to get somebody, a four-time all-star, somebody who knows how to play, a good leader, a good veteran leader. And not to be mistaken, when somebody says a good veteran leader and it's like the guy in his 19th year, who's on four all-star teams a decade ago. It's like, no, DeRozan can still perform. He's still averaging 20 points a game, and he had his highest assist rate of his career last year. So it was really the sign for me that that's when they were going for it. It's like, we're not just going through the motions, and we're not just signing people to sign people.
Yeah,
this is a plan.
Doing jersey grabs. We're not doing, hey, you guys were pissed off about that last thing. What if we gave you Dwayne Wade? You guys like Dwayne Wade. Remember Dwayne Wade?
Let's get younger and more athletic. Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo the next week. It's like, oh, okay. So you just blatantly lying to us. Thanks, Gar Foreman.
Or do you mean Bulls legend Carmelo Anthony? I remember driving past the United Center when there were signs and people were out saying, Bulls got to go get Carmelo. They got to go get Melo. And that never happened. And then he ends up on the Bulls for 4 minutes, a part of, you know, whatever deal they made. And I was like, look, you got it. It's like, you got him. Aren't you excited? I'm surprised that they didn't make Carmelo Anthony Bulls jerseys and we're just hoping people were just going to buy him. It's like, no, you don't have to make it custom. Like, he's on the roster. It's like, everybody, like, cut the Wi-Fi so they can't look it up. Like, no, he's on the roster. Like, I just got the notification. Don't look at your phone. Just buy the jersey.
I thought that was going to be when we were actually trying for Melo. I thought that was the perfect fit. And that was very funny that he was a Bull for 2 days or whatever he was.
Yeah.
I forget what that deal was. What was that deal?
Is that when he was coming from Houston or when he was going to Houston? I think Houston was the final destination, but I don't remember how it happened.
I don't either. Not that it's important. But yeah, that's it.
He's 37 years old.
We did finally get him. You're right.
I think it's a shame that the Bulls aren't listed in his career history page on Wikipedia. There's a couple of dates missing in his incomplete page. So whoever's in charge of Carmelo Anthony's page, if you're listening, you really dropped the ball on this one, man, because this is inaccurate.
If I could go back and change my answer from before, it's when we got the Caruso that's when I knew we were over the top.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, I think he was buried on the Lakers and he was just waiting to get out.
Oh, definitely.
And now Chicago's going to unleash the beast. I'm telling you, on Wednesday, he puts up 10 points. I'll go out and buy the jersey. 90% of the fan base will go out and buy the jersey. It won't take much.
I have to say, when we did sign him, I did think of you. And I was like, Lenny's going to love this.
Caruso? Yeah. Anything where I can play off the name almost guarantees that I'll root for you till death.
As a legit move about Caruso, people were saying that. Sorry, I'm collecting my thoughts here. How do I want to say this? He was very much a, like you said, like kind of buried in LA and he's got more potential. And that there were some people saying that the Bulls still need a backup point guard. And some were saying that Caruso is going to put the backup point guard. And he's more of a shooting guard as like his natural position. But in the preseason, he was definitely playing the backup point guard role. And I think he did it super well. I was not expecting that. And maybe it was because he was buried in LA, but I was not expecting him to facilitate the way he did get other people involved. And then when he was playing off the ball, still, you know, being his athletic kind of, he's really a showman. Like, he really does get the crowd hyped. Big dunks, alley-oops. It is. I think the Bulls are going to throw a whole lot of alley-oops this year. I really do. Everybody can fly, everybody can dunk. And it's like, we got a four guard. No, it's not a five guard, but it's a four guard system. Everybody can handle the ball, bring the ball up. I think it's going to be good.
So where are you at with like expectations for this team? Like if they make the playoffs, get knocked out the first round, like, is that sufficient enough where you're like, we got a taste of it. That's what we wanted. We wanted them to be competitive. We'll go back to the drawing board next year. We'll fix, you know, one or two things. Or are you thinking like they got to run deep in order for me to be convinced that this was a successful season?
I don't think that's an option anymore based on the fact that we don't have a first round draft pick. We didn't have one this year. We don't have one next year. And we don't have one the year after.
Yeah.
But we don't have a way to get better besides what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
The other thing that this does, this move does, I know I'm not answering your question, but I just thought of it. The other thing this move does is when that next superstar is disgruntled and wants out, we are now in a position to make a move for that person. We don't have the draft pick. So I don't think if somebody gets disgruntled this year, probably not, but next year maybe, because we'll start getting our draft picks again. But we have pieces that we can move. And we also, and then vice versa, we have pieces that people want to come play with.
Are you confirming that Kyrie Irving is coming to the Bulls this season?
I mean, I would be so pissed off if Kyrie Irving came to the Bulls. I want Dame Lillard if we're talking about, if I get my choice.
Dame Dalla?
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a team, but.
I'll give up everybody but Zach.
That's it? You know, to get Damian Lillard, you'd give up anybody but Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I'd give them Ball, DeRozan, and Vooch. They'd want Patrick Williams, though.
They would. They can't have him because he's a part of a championship-caliber team. So,
all on him. Put the pressure on. Okay.
Is it the hand?
What? His nickname?
Yeah.
The paw.
Oh, the paw. I was like, can't be the hand. I was like, that sounds terrible. I was like, if that's what it is, he's got to immediately change that. That's atrocious.
The paw
and the claw.
A play on the claw, which is Kawhi Leonard. Correct. And his name is Patrick Williams, P-A-W, Patrick Williams.
Paw. You are blowing my mind on this podcast.
Our time, Stacey King contributed a good nickname again.
Do you think the last one was Jimmy G Buckets?
Jimmy G Buckets. The G stands for gets.
Yeah.
That was a quality one.
I remember. Do you remember where you were when the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler and Zach LaVine was in that trade?
Do you remember where I was?
Yeah.
Like in the world or in like my mental space?
Either or. I was just about to click on a Jimmy Butler jersey to buy it. I checked my phone. That said, Jimmy was traded. I backed out of the internet browser. And I went home.
That's good. My older brother, Mike, once was trying to get a Keith Bogans jersey for Christmas. And I said, nobody buy him that, please. Please, nobody buy him that. He's like, why? He's the best player on the Bulls. I love him. And I said, no, I'm not letting you. Because he won't be here next year, and you're going to be sad. And he wasn't.
Good call.
Yeah. It's one of my better calls.
I was at a work function, and I saw on the TV, it scrolled at the bottom, Bulls trade Jimmy Butler for, and then I don't know what round was Lowry. Is he a first round or a second round?
Yeah, first round, seventh overall pick.
Seven again? Man, they really got to get away from a seventh round pick. Or a seven overall.
He was the first seven. It was him, then Kobe, and then Wendell. Or Wendell and Kobe.
Wendell and Kobe.
Yeah.
But, yeah. If they get sixth, I'll be like, oh, my God. Bulls get a sixth overall pick. Drastically different. But I digress. I was at a work function. Everybody was drinking heavily. And they were like, man, screw the Bulls. Bulls just screwed up or whatever. I also thought it because I like Jimmy Butler. And Zach LaVine was coming off of, is it MCL, ACL?
ACL.
ACL. And I was like, I don't know, man. The Bulls just took a huge risk. And then Jimmy Butler became a Looney Tune and was bouncing all over the league because he, you know, wouldn't play nice with others. And then Zach LaVine ended up being Zach LaVine. So in that moment, yeah, I was furious. But now I'm like, ooh, I'm glad we got rid of Jimmy Butler.
I think you're being a little hard on Jimmy Butler. I think you're forgetting that Jimmy Butler
was the Bulls.
So yeah, Jimmy Butler, when the Bulls did it, I was thinking, or when there's talk of them doing it, I was thinking, you don't have to do this. Yes, we're the eighth seed, the seventh seed. That's what we're fighting for. But you don't have to do this. Jimmy Butler became a top 15 player in the NBA on the Bulls. And it's hard to get a top 15 player. We right. didn't have to do it. If we had this regime we had now, I think they would have kept and signed. And we weren't able to sign people for whatever reason with Gar and Pax. But we are now. And so I think it would have been totally different if it wasn't Gar and Pax, but it was. And so they decided to rebuild, and they decided to rebuild with Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri Markkanen turned out to be just a decent role player. Like he's probably a sixth man. That's probably where his best role will be. So you can't rebuild with a person like that. And obviously Zach LaVine, but it was supposed to be Zach LaVine and Lauri together. And it's just not how it worked. And now has Zach LaVine taken the next step? Absolutely. So
knowing what you know now, when you think about that trade, were you like, Bulls won that trade? Or were you?
No.
Because in that moment, I was like, oh, Bulls just lost this trade. They just, you know, got Zach LaVine, who's a question mark. They got this pick where, you know, who knows if picks ever work out. So in that moment, I was very like, Bulls just lost this trade. And then as time went on, I was like, oh, Bulls won this trade when, like, Jimmy was bouncing from team to team.
So, I think I would say, I think the issue being the Timberwolves did nothing with Jimmy Butler, right? That's the issue. So, the winning and losing, who did more with who? Jimmy Butler on the Timberwolves or Lauri Markkanen on the Bulls? Zach LaVine on the Bulls. It's not a cut and dry answer because I think they both kind of shit the bed, if I'm being totally honest. Like yeah. Jimmy wasn't there for more than 2 years. I don't remember if they were in the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs?
I don't think so.
Which is crazy because Jimmy Butler makes the playoffs with a bunch of no-name white guys that can shoot threes on the Heat. Like,
yeah,
he can make the playoffs with anybody. And then he went, and then they traded him to Philly. So I think you're kind of misremembering. It didn't go well. Because, and I think Jimmy Butler has came out on top of that whole situation more so than, because what has Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins done? Like, they're both great players that do nothing. So I think Jimmy Butler was kind of right in that setting.
Yeah.
Did he handle it well? No, I think he'd probably even admit he didn't handle it well. And then he went to Philly. And then the Lord knows what's going on with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Like, that's a similar yet different situation in its own right. And then he got a chance to be a free agent. And then he went to Miami. And then have you heard anything besides winning with Jimmy Butler in Miami?
Well, I'd like to go back when you said that Jimmy Butler made the playoffs with the Heat, the bunch of no-name white boys. Tyler Hero says that he's on the same level as Luka, in case you were wondering. So he's not a no name. He's in the top, you know, three of the entire league. So
I would say Tyler Hero thinks very highly of himself, but that's because he performed really well that first year when he was a no name person.
I mean, fair.
And I can't say no name white guys because shout out Max Strus. I know you're listening. Went to high school.
I was waiting for it.
Dated his sister for a little bit in like fifth and sixth grade. Barely talked to her. We waved to each other in the hallways, you know.
I mean, you might want to look her up again. I hear her brother's in the NBA.
Just got married.
Well, we'll try again. With a different NBA player's sister. Do you have any other friends who are in the NBA?
No, fresh out.
I, too, don't have any friends in the NBA. So if you're listening and you are either in the NBA or you know somebody in the NBA, and they have a sister or a cousin, a girl cousin or a boy cousin, honestly, what type of money are we talking?
Hey, 2021.
I'm a married man. Excuse me. My days of looking for NBA players are over. Hanging outside the clubs, waiting for one of them to stumble out. They're behind me. I'm sorry.
What a hack on them.
What?
This is a family show.
Mom, I know you stopped listening at episode 5, but please don't turn 13. I'm just kidding. She didn't listen to any of them. What's your podcast? Trivial Pursuit? Sure.
Yep. Their We're sponsored by a board game.
Yeah, their account is thriving.
Have they, like,
the Trivial season Pursuit canceled Smash Mouth? Question mark. And it's like, oh,
the season desist, has it, like, gone away, or?
We're still actively fighting it.
Oh, okay.
We're looking for the orange wedge. We keep going around, but we keep missing it. So,
fair.
The orange wedge is the entertainment one or sports. So, I should know that. I run the Trivial Pursuit account. All right, Matt. We've talked about Bulls basketball, the greatest basketball. But now let's do basketball trivia. That's pretty much random. I was going to do Bulls trivia, and I was like, nah, we did that already. So, let's start off with a bunch of random easy questions for basketball, and then we'll get harder in later episodes when we get our groove back.
I don't know. I want the hard ones, man. Come on. I don't think I've gotten a trivia question wrong yet, have I?
I mean,
for all our fans out there and that keep the stats, let me know. The real Matt Bridge.
Please tweet us, because Matt can't, because he doesn't use his Twitter, because it's a novelty thing. Unless Outerbox wants to respond right now to the biggest fan. Just Matt, stop tweeting after he tweeted at Outerbox. So
I also, they didn't respond, so I haven't bought an Outerbox since.
See, you lost a customer because you wouldn't tweet back. It's a shame. We have millions of fans. Otterbox, like the animal. I have an iPhone now, so I should know these things.
Yeah,
like the animal.
I'm pretty sure they had Android too, did they not?
I don't know. I had a case with a like kickstand on it. That's kind of my thing. So kickstand, right, in some circles.
Ask me these questions.
All right. Question one. What NBA player scored 100 points on March 2nd, 1962?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain. Who was the first player in NBA history to be elected MVP by a unanimous vote?
Ooh. I don't know if I know this one. All right. Let me think.
I have four options. It's multiple choice. But the four you're thinking of are probably the four you have to choose from.
The first, do you have a year for me? That would help.
Yeah, but if I gave you the year, it might eliminate two of the guesses.
Right. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. I don't want the multiple choice.
I can give you the year.
Yeah. Give me the year and don't give me the multiple choice.
All right. 2016.
What was that? Shoot. That was that.
You're thinking of Chris Bryant. It wasn't Chris Bryant. I mean, it was, but it. This is an NBA question.
2016. Who's the MVP in 2016? Unanimous.
It was the year the world stopped. There was no other sports past 2016, famously.
Oh, man, I don't want it to be LeBron. Because they won with the 2016s when the Cavs won.
LeBron James.
Was it him or was it Harden or was it Westbrook? Because they had good years too. Was that then? Or
was it?
Okay. I don't know if I want to go chalk or if I want to go off the unanimous. Unanimous. All right. I'm going to go LeBron. I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go chalk.
You're going LeBron James.
Yeah.
The answer, famously.
Just tell me yes. Just tell me right or wrong so I can guess again.
Wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong.
Did I say the person already?
You sure didn't.
I did not?
Oh.
Who is unanimous in 2016? Was it Steph?
Would it help if I said 2015 to 2016 unanimous MVP winner? Does that make a difference to you?
No, I was thinking the 2015-2016 season. That's when the Cavs won. That's why I went LeBron, because the Cavs won, so I assume he had a good year. So then it had to be Durant or Steph, and I don't know, did Durant win an MVP? Let's go Steph.
What's your final answer?
Sure. I already gave it a final answer. This is my second final answer.
LeBron James plays third. Kawhi Leonard placed second, and Steph Curry, with all 131 first place votes, unanimously.
That is a miss on my part.
Not to be confused with Seth Curry, who received 8 non votes.
When was that year that Westbrook and Harden were just like both going off? And the year that Harden won, was that late? Was that 2018, 2017, 2018? I think I went back too far.
I think it's 17 or 18. 17 sounds right.
Yeah, I was just a year early. Okay. My bad. All right. All right. To all the people keeping stats, I got one wrong.
He's human after all. Question 3, which head coach was fired the same year that he was named Coach of the Year?
Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey in 2018 for the Toronto Raptors. Brutal.
You thought these were the easy ones? I thought those two I thought were, I don't think everybody would get those two. I like it. Keep going.
Who was the first NBA player to test positive for the coronavirus?
It had to be Rudy Gobert.
Defense like no other. Shut the whole league down. What year did NBA Street come out on PlayStation 2?
NBA Street, PlayStation 2. I played it on GameCube. Is it the same?
GameCube came out a year later.
Okay, that's good. But I made NBA Street Volume 2 on GameCube. So I got to go back. Okay. Yao Ming was on the Rockets still. I just got to think of who my team was. I always picked Yao Ming because he could shoot threes for some reason, and he obviously blocked all the shots.
If the most remarkable thing about that game that you remember was that Yao Ming could shoot threes, you don't remember that game very well.
That's actually well done on your part there, because there was
game breaker.
The game breaker really was. You just cross over as much as you could to build the game breaker up.
Yeah.
Can we talk about a very underrated soundtrack? NBA Street Volume 2.
I was going to say, not volume one. Volume one was garbage. Volume two was where they got their footing.
I still have some of those songs on my Spotify playlist.
That's fair. Okay.
I'm going to say it came out in the year 2000 and...
He's thinking, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, gosh. I want to say, like, before 2010.
Before 2010?
NBA Street? No?
Yes. Well, it was way before 2010.
I know. I'm thinking out loud.
You had a random year.
No, because I was going before
2020.
Okay, 2002.
GameCube or PlayStation 2?
Oh, shoot. I'll stick with it. I think it was 2003 and GameCube, 2002 and PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2.
So you're saying PlayStation 2, NBA Street, came out 2002.
Correct.
2001.
Son of a gun.
So you said 2002, and I said GameCube or PlayStation.
Yeah, I also had Volume 2, so you know what? I needed to do one more year because I never had Volume 1.
Correct. Because the soundtrack was garbage.
Man, that's a miss.
What teammates are nicknamed the Splash Brothers?
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Correct. Not to be confused with Seth Curry, who is a real person. Mom. That was him talking to his own mother. At 5'3", who is the shortest player in NBA history?
Muggsy Bogues.
Basketball Jones, yes. Muggsy Bogues was the correct answer. Who invented the game of basketball?
James Naismith.
He's a doctor, but we'll cut it out.
Doctor, I added it.
James Naismith, doctor. Who won the 2021 WNBA championship?
Your Chicago Sky.
Sky-cago, I think was the tagline. Is it Sky-cago or is it Skytown maybe? Like Chi-town? Clever either way.
How good is Candace Parker for real?
Considering I think a couple years ago she was voted like by her peers like the most overrated player or something like that. And then she played in China or something. She's only played for two, I think, WNBA teams. I think it was the Sparks, and then she went to China or Japan or something. And then she worked her way back. And hometown Chicago Sky, even though she's from St. Louis, Missouri, fun fact, we won't hold it against her. She might be bringing the only championship to Chicago this year.
She's not from Chicago? I thought she's from Chicago.
No, she went to Naperville Central. But I believe she was born in St. Louis, Missouri.
Right, but you can claim where you like grew up.
Well, I think I don't think Kanye West was born in Chicago. I think he was born in like Georgia or something. Yeah, she was St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, Georgia can have him back.
Let's see. While we're thinking of it. Well, by the way, Kanye West changed his name to Ye, in case you're wondering. You know, it's very important.
But, you sure it's Ye and not Yay?
Could be Yay, but wouldn't you think it would be Yey?
No, Yay as in Kanye. How do you spell his name, dude?
You know what? This is my podcast. I don't have to answer any of these questions. Kanye West was born in Atlanta.
I'm basing it all off that.
You know what? Just for that, I'm giving you a Space Jam question. In the movie Space Jam, not the garbage sequel that nobody saw, who are the five players that got their talent stolen?
Okay.
One of them is Basketball Jones. Basketball Jones.
Okay, I can do this. Muggsy Bogues.
Correct.
Charles Barkley.
Correct.
Patrick Ewing.
Correct.
Sean Bradley.
Correct.
Who's the
I thought Sean Bradley was going to be the one that was going to stump you.
No. I think I think I'm just forgetting who the other person was.
Correct.
Because it's the first I should know. I'm trying to think of that scene where they're all in the wheelchairs.
Yeah.
But I probably should think of the scene where they're all on the ball. They're touching the ball.
It's not Danny DeVito, although he was in that movie.
Man, who am I forgetting?
Magic Cousin?
It wasn't Magic Johnson.
It was his cousin.
That's it was his cousin?
It's not his cousin.
Play that game. Man, this is bad. I'm sorry. This is also a bad podcast now. People are just listening to me forget who the fifth person was.
He lives in a bus. He doesn't have access to internet.
Right, yeah. I'm not actually taking a long time. You just can't hear me because my internet's bad.
Basketball Jones.
Dude, why can't I think of this? This is bad. I need to go watch Space Jam again.
I could tell you.
Is it Hall of Famer?
Larry Johnson?
Larry Johnson?
Yeah.
That was the last one? Yeah, I don't remember that.
I said Magic's cousin. And then I was like, actually, yeah, oh, I'm 100% certain I made that up. But I was like, also, I actually don't know.
No, Larry Johnson. Yeah, I do remember that now. I don't think I was thinking that. I don't know what I was thinking. Not that.
I would have not known Larry Johnson. I would have said Ewing, Barkley, and Muggsy for sure. Sean Bradley, I might have been able to get out, but. Shout out to Larry Johnson if you're listening. Sorry, bud. It's not you, it's us.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, on that note, loser. That's all we have for episode 13. There's no more wedding planning, so you'll be getting a lot more content, probably, maybe. I don't know. It takes us 4 months to pump it out. So, I'd like to thank Matt for joining us for a record-breaking fifth time last.
You saw thank you. Season 2 is about to be better than ever.
Follow our official Instagram account at Trivial Arguments. Don't follow mine. The content is not good. It's just sad. Follow us on Spotify, please. I mean, what are we doing at this point?
I can subscribe.
Click the button below. Maybe that'll work. Yeah. But you can feel free to also argue with us online. I don't really care. It's Trivial Arguments for a reason. I never put my phone down. So argue away, my friends. Also, if you're listening to this on October 19th, happy birthday, Matt's mom.
Heyo, shout out Jody.
Heyo. I was wondering if you were going to remember. So if you didn't, you do now.
I'm pretty good at that stuff, okay?
Well, if you're listening to it on the 19th, happy birthday, Matt's mom. And if you're listening to it any other day, still say happy birthday, guys. What are we doing? All right. I'm Lenny. He's Matt. Let's get out of here.
See ya.
Bye. Happy birthday.